He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome. Welcome to the Monday morning. It is Valentine's Day, but there's no love for the markets, Barry. Not today. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager with and president of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry's back in the house, our chartered financial analyst.
Yeah, thawing out from a chilly Chicago. But
yeah, I've been there on that wind that comes off that lake. It's pretty cold.
Can
there.
Be brutal, right?
Oh, my gosh, and it's pretty cold. There's a cold breeze going through the market. You didn't miss much on Thursday and Friday. A couple of big down days in the market. We got a
The hot inflation kept me warm. So.
Yes, hot inflation. You can cook your wheat bread over a hot inflation fire. And in the meantime, I was sitting there at my debt. Well, we better get to the market here, then we'll get into this. The Dow's down 285 right now after a 500-point drop on Friday. So we kind of no love for the market today on this Cupid day. S&P 500 down 24, 43.94. The Nasdaq just went negative. It's down 5 now. 13,786 is back below 14,000. Crude oil is up 2 cents, but I'm seeing that there's a little sell-off. They went way up on Friday, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. About 3 o'clock Eastern time, Friday afternoon, I saw oil spiking. Well, gold is spiking, too, today. We'll tell you why that is in a bit here. It's up $26 per ounce and making some noise, 1867. The 10-year's at 1.99, up 4 basis points after kind of a big flight to safety on Friday. And last but not least, Bitcoin is down $4 today to 42,516. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst back in the hot seat today, Barry Keit. Barry, I was sitting at my desk Friday working on the newsletter and trading. And looking at stocks, and just all of a sudden, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Oil just went up $4 a barrel just like that. I mean, within 30 seconds. And then I saw the bond market selling off and interest rates coming down. I said, uh-oh, there's a flight to safety, and there's problems in Ukraine. And it wasn't 5 minutes later than they had a press conference from the White House, and there were rumors that that Putin was ready to go in to Ukraine. So, you know, it's interesting. Things show up in the market before they show up on TV. Jake Sullivan, I guess, then came on. Well, I watched the press conference. He came on and said, well, you know, we just have credible evidence, our intelligence gathering, that Putin is getting very close to going in. And some say Tuesday, some say Wednesday. This morning there were some rumors. The futures are all over the place. There were some rumors that he had agreed to more talks before going in. But this week, that's what we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with Ukraine. We're going to have to deal with interest rates. And we're going to have to deal with the PPI number, which I want to say comes out tomorrow. Aren't I correct on that?
Yeah, Barry? That's right. Comes out. It'll be out tomorrow. It's one thing, as financial folks, right? You know, trying to predict interest rates and what the Fed's going to do, and you know, other earnings for for companies that we own out there. And then, of course, you throw in the geopolitical risks, right?
That's
it's
a,
like
that's
we've got to
wow, wild
we've got
card.
To pull out our old, you know, we used to play the old family board game Risk, right? We
oh, yeah, I love
break
Risk.
That out. Yeah, me too. So every
we'll
time
have to
I
play
name,
sometime.
Ukraine, we should, yes. That would be a blast. So.
The wheat in Ukraine is important.
Yes, but it's there's a lot of volatility out there, and, of course, when it's tied to something as unpredictable, right, as a potential Russian invasion, it certainly complicates the issues out there.
Yes, and we had a bad finish to the week. Now, on Friday, the market was way down. The Dow was down 505. That's where it finished. The NASDAQ was down 305. We were up on Friday. I don't know if you checked from Chicago, but we were up substantially. We were up 1% on Friday because we have inverse positions on high tech, and we have long positions with quite a bit of exposure to the energy stocks, and they just all of a sudden took off on Friday. So, you know, what can I say? I think more people are starting to come over to my side of the camp this year where it's going to be a struggle for the NASDAQ and for technology stocks. I read the comments on our article last week about why the NASDAQ continues to come unraveled. I would say the vast majority of the comments agreed with us.
Yeah, they weren't... They weren't too rough. You never know what you're going to get. Usually it's a fairly negative site.
Yeah, especially, you know, I'm usually not, there's not many that agree with me, but we're currently ranked number 279 out of 8,200 people there on Seeking Alpha. So whether you want to agree or not, we've been right. And I've also been saying recently in my macro outlook, for the first time in a long time, I've been lowering my target prices for the S&P 500, not on earnings, but that middle part of that equation, which is the multiple. I don't think with interest rates over 2 and headed higher, the market's not going to be able to support a 22 multiple anymore on those S&P 500 earnings. And I said, you know, on the way up, I was way ahead of the big market wirehouse research firms with a higher target price and higher earnings. I ended up being right last year and the year before that, many years in a row now. I said, now I feel like I'm way out in front of the big firms lowering my target price. And the consensus target price as of Friday is $5,300. There ain't no way. You got to use a multiple over 20 to get to that in a rising interest rate environment. And I stated on Friday, I said, you know, I'm usually out in front because the wirehouses move pretty slowly. They're pretty big bureaucracies, you know. We're a little more nimble over here. And today I see that Goldman Sachs, I said, I'm ahead of the guys. You watch. They're going to start lowering their target prices. And sure enough, we'll get to Goldman Sachs' latest macro outlook, but they've lowered their target price on the S&P 500 considerably. And you have to in a rising interest rate environment. So anyways, that's how we ended the week. But it wasn't all down last week. In fact, the market was kind of even for the week. I'm just not liking the charts of the S&P 500. I'm not liking the chart of the Russell 2000. I'm not liking the chart of the NASDAQ. They've begun downtrends. Now, how much further down they can go, or, you know, maybe if this Ukraine thing blows over, you know, they can reverse those downtrends and start to settle in. But right now, they're not real healthy charts, okay? That's like taking an EKG of the market every Friday and just saying, you know, these aren't very healthy charts. The short side of the market, however, the ETFs that are inverse are very healthy. PSQ, which is opposite the NASDAQ, it's a very healthy chart right now. SH, which is the opposite of the S&P 500, it's a very healthy chart. TWN, which is the opposite of the small cap Russell 2000 index, very healthy. Energy's charts are healthy. And even though they're selling off today, the energy sector was up 2.2% last week. It was by far the leading sector. Materials were number two, 1%. That's your commodities. And number three were the financials. And those are exactly the sectors, I think, Barry, that we've been calling out, saying, look, this is where your single-digit, double-digit, low double-digit P.E. ratios are. And what were the worst-performing groups last week? Information technology, communication services, in other words, high-tech. And that's where you're going to find your highest P.E. stocks, the internet stocks, the cloud stocks, the cybersecurity stocks. Those are high P.E., long-duration stocks that are not going to do well, and they're not doing well rising interest rate environment. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about today, including Goldman Sachs. I mean, when Goldman Sachs talks, people listen. What's their latest outlook for the market? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 300 right now, but the NASDAQ is up 27 points, and the S&P's up 23. The S&P's down now year-to-date about 8%, somewhere in that neighborhood. I want to talk a little bit about Ukraine right now and why Ukraine does matter. It really rocked the markets on Friday. I mean, the market took a sudden spiral downwards. Oil took a sudden spiral upwards. And interest rates, we saw a big flight to safety in the bond market on Friday when news of, a White House press conference coming up on the situation there, which seems to be... It could happen at any moment. A lot of people saying Tuesday or Wednesday. This morning there were rumors that they were going to agree to more negotiations. And the futures went up about 100 points when that came out. And then they folded and went back down again. Well, you know, it almost seems to me, Barry, you know, Putin has made a big power play to really control the natural gas flowing into Europe. I mean, he's got a stranglehold on Europe there as it relates to their power cost and prices of heating their homes and this and that. And you know, Ukraine is the breadbasket of that landlocked area there and a lot of Europe. I was reading yesterday that Israel gets one half of its grain, its wheat, from Ukraine. It's really quite a fruit and bread basket of that area. And, you know, if he takes over Ukraine was leaning towards becoming a member of NATO. And that was really, in fact, they kind of consider themselves an whatever they have to sign to become a member of NATO. And that's really under Putin's skin, is that NATO business. And if he were to take Ukraine, which it looks like he's going to do it, and it looks like he's not going to face much opposition physically. He may financially with the sanctions and all. Then he's got a stranglehold on a very important food supply to Europe. And, you know, if you're controlling their food and their energy, or at least have quite a bit of influence over it, that's not a good situation. And that's why the markets are so on edge. And also with the oil, Russia's a big producer of oil. Part
of OPEC Plus, right?
Yeah, part of OPEC Plus. And, you know, when you've got all, when you wield that much power over oil, over natural gas, and over food, essential food, that's a lot of strength that all of a sudden Russia, which for a long time, you know, they were pretty much torn apart when they split up, and now they're rebuilding and gaining strength again, one country at a time, a little bit at a time, one commodity at a time, and becoming a much stronger position in that area of the world than they and the whole world than they had before. That's why the markets are really looking at this, you know, pretty nervous about all that's going on there. Would it draw in other countries? It doesn't look like it will. Would then Russia begin on the next country that they plan to take over? If the countries did nothing to deter Putin from, would that embolden Iran, for instance, you know, to do whatever they want to do next? So there's a lot riding
China
on
and
this.
Taiwan, right? That's one, you know, that's what folks are looking at as a mirror potentially in terms of how the West reacts with Russia, right? How they would react with, say, China and Taiwan, for example.
Yeah, and I think it's almost a certainty that at some point in the future, when, I don't know, but probably sooner rather than later, I think Taiwan is right in the targets of a very ambitious China. And I was reading a good article yesterday about how the new world order or the world order has kind of shuffling here with China and Russia rising in that order. And, of course, their allies, Turkey and Iran, are rising. Turkey and Iran haven't been too friendly with each other, but lately they're doing a lot more trade with each other. So there's a lot going on in the world that's very unnerving right now. So we've got to watch that, and it does have an impact on the market. And then, of course, the inflation, the inflation situation. I saw a little snippet on one of the financial channels this morning. You know how, Barry, when you go into certain stores, they have some products under lock and key, okay, right? You got to go get a clerk.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or software. So now they're doing it with ribeye steaks. Can you believe this? Yeah. I mean, somebody has to come and unlock the ribeye steak in order for you to...
Well, I mean, given the price level of what they are, I mean, it makes sense. Certainly, you know, I'm sure certainly around the Super Bowl and everything else, right, that you've already got some natural demand imbalances during that time. And then, of course, given the prices we've seen lately, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more on the menu lately, market price. Okay, so
yeah, I figured the butcher with the knife was enough deterrent, but I guess now we've got to throw it in the plastic box too with the key.
Yeah. I mean, when it's just out there in the counter for you to slip into your cart or under your overcoat, right? It's not good. I mean, this inflation situation is not good, and the Fed realizes that. Goldman Sachs is now up to a prediction of 7 rate hikes this year, and they're lowering their S&P target price. Let me get to that article.
Was it 4,900, I think, was around the number that I think I recall seeing?
Yeah, 40, cuts target price to 4,900. So, the consensus was at 5,300. I think Goldman Sachs was at around 5,100 or so. But they're lowering their forecast, which I predicted these big firms would have to start doing. I did it a couple of weeks ago. In the face of seven expected rate hikes and higher treasury yields. Now, that's David Kostin. I respect them a lot. And they lowered it from 5,100 down to 4,900. They lowered their year-end prediction while the interest rate team boosted its expectations for the 10-year Treasury yield to 2.25 for the year, 2.25 by the end of the year. So, you know what? It all plays in, and that's why you got to be aware of what's going on in the world, whether it's Ukraine or over at the office of David Kostin and Goldman Sachs or, you know, the Fed, which all eyes are on these days. We'll be right back with some of the good side of the market. This is Bill Gutterson at Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, earnings season is 75% in the books now. And so far, 77% of the companies that have reported have beat their earnings estimates. And 77% have beat their revenue estimates. I think the most surprising thing for me to the upside was the big revenue growth. Of course, we're comparing the fourth quarter of this year with the fourth quarter of last year where Delta was still around, the Delta variant of the COVID virus. We're going to have earnings somewhere up about 30% versus the same quarter last year, up 30%. But revenue, this is really an astonishing number. I mean, people are buying. They were buying the last quarter of this year. Revenue is expected to come in at 15.3% growth. And the profit margin, very healthy overall for the S&P 500 companies, about 12.4%. In addition to this, here's another startling statistic. In Q1 of 20, that was Q1 of 20, all right, that was a year ago. Was that the COVID year? No, that was the year after COVID. There were 57 S&P 500 companies that mentioned the word inflation in their earnings reports. What do you think it was here recently? It's going to end up being about 300.
I was going to say, I mean, and for those that didn't, they probably should have.
Yes.
It should have been
100%. Well, you know, the only ones like the service company, but even they're right. Seeing labor
at least
inflation.
At the employee level, right? They were going to see some inflation there. Yeah, probably. You know, I wonder if it's in their comments or if there's a question, you know, from an analyst. Of course, you know, it may not be in their initial comments. Of course, you probably get those questions from an analyst. You would expect, but
yeah,
if not, they got let off the hook easy.
Over 300 companies citing inflation on their earnings calls, up from only 57 in Q1. So inflation is really a major topic these days. Okay, so for the year, it's not quite in the books yet. 2021, which is now in the rearview mirror by about 6 weeks, earnings were going to come in 47% higher than the previous year, with revenue growth of 16%. That is really healthy revenue top-line sales growth. Now, let's look ahead to this year, 2022. We're 6 weeks into the new year. We're not going to have 47% growth in earnings this year. No, we're going to have we're back to single digits, but still healthy. 8.5% is the prediction right now for 2022 versus 2021. And the revenue growth is not going to be 15.3. The estimate right now is 8.1. So it's still healthy. But it's not going to be these giant numbers that we've seen because of the easy comparisons that they had. Now we're getting into some more difficult comparisons. And as of right now, 2022, the consensus is going to come in about $208 per share, 2022. The earnings for 21, I'm talking, 2021, $208. The estimate right now for this year is about $225. So from 208 to 225, that's the estimates for the S&P 500 earnings, okay? And again, that would represent 8.5% earnings growth year over year and 8.1% year over year in sales growth. So I have not seen the earnings estimates go down, but what I have seen is adjustments to the multiple, the multiplier, which is equivalent to the price to earnings ratio. The price to earnings ratio has been as high as 25 this year. But as interest rates go up, we've talked about that dynamic and the impact it has on the discount rate. You bring that multiple down. What has been the long-term average of the multiple? Yeah, you know, 15 to 18, let's call it. 15 to 18 is the 10-year average of the multiple. So you can see we were stretched way beyond the norm when we got up to 25, 23, those kinds of numbers. But that was induced by the Fed keeping interest rates at zero for so long. And so, you know, if we have a huge sell-off in the market and the multiple constricts back to the normal range, let's just say 17, man, 17 is going to put the market down around the 3,800 level, the S&P 500. It will not be worth even what Goldman Sachs is saying now. What did they say, 4,900? So they're using a multiple of 20. They're using a multiple of 20 to get to 4,900. And if it constricts back to a more normal range, that could be way too high also. So, well, that's why we continue to keep our eye on interest rates. That's very, very important because it impacts the multiples. Okay, now you take a stock. Let's just take a stock like Amazon. It also comes down to individual stocks. Amazon currently has a P.E. ratio of 47. That's way over the market multiple, and that's a very, very rich multiple. So anytime you see movement in interest rates going higher or hotter inflation numbers than were expected, the companies that are going to be the most adversely impacted by that are going to be high P.E. stocks. And Amazon does not have a good chart at all. Amazon's in a downtrend if you look at it. If you connect the tops on Amazon over the last 4 months, that stock is in a downtrend. Now I'm going to look at Tesla.
Yeah, and that includes the pop that they received after earnings, by the way.
Yes, they had that huge pop, and it's right. Wearing off. It's disappearing. Now I have, when I bring up the Tesla chart, I have a big circle around one number. P.E. ratio 127. Tesla's in a downtrend. Connect the tops and you'll see what I mean. It peaked at 1,243. Who was selling about then during the month of November and December? Elon Musk was selling, getting out for tax reasons, was what he said. But the multiple back then was way higher than it is today. It's come down to 127. That's not a good chart on Tesla. I know the thing is Teflon-coated, and it has its army of people that love the stock and think that it's going to 3,000. 5,000 is what ARK Funds thinks it's going to. Well, it's come down from 1,243 to 879. That's a pretty big hit. That's a 33% hit. It's lost one-third of its market valuation here since its high back in November. And there's a big correlation there between Tesla coming down as the Fed stepped up the pace of rhetoric on rising interest rates, taking interest rates higher, and the inflation numbers that have been coming out. You know, Barry, Tesla uses quite a bit of commodities in their production of their cars, and we're seeing lithium prices go up, aluminum prices go up, rubber price, it's just on and on and on. You still have the chip shortage and everything. That's not a healthy chart on Tesla. I'm just telling you. The 200-day moving average, it's still above that. But I'm just saying it's not a healthy chart on Tesla. And the higher the P.E. stock, now you can go up further into the stratosphere. Okay, we could look at like a cloud stock. Let's see if Snowflake even has a P.E. ratio right now. Well, 9 cents, 10 cents, it has a P.E. ratio of 2,900, forward P.E. ratio of 2,900. Those stocks just ain't going to work in this environment. But look, okay, there's others out there that disagree and say no, they'll be just fine. You want to invest in tech, that's where the future is, that's where the growth is. But at what cost? At what cost? And I know it's hard. Now, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Here's a good example today. Here's a strong tech stock. Here's a strong one, Barry. Micron, MU. And we own Micron. What's the P.E. ratio? 12. Okay? 12. One-tenth of what Tesla is. You got to watch your P's and Q's in this market right now. Or you're going to get run over by an inflation bus. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, or inverse ETFs. They're helping us a lot here these days. We were actually up on Friday when the market just absolutely tanked on Friday. All right, what are the stocks jumping off the page for me today? Well, we mentioned Micron. Okay, the tech's actually holding up better than the rest today so far. I think there's a little bit of so-called bargain hunting in the tech space here today. Micron is up almost 3% today. And I've talked a lot about that high relative strength, low PE. That's our ticket. You do what you want to do. That's our ticket for 2022. Micron has a relative strength of 91. And a P.E. ratio of 12. Okay, let's just compare that. All right, let's pull up Amazon. Amazon has a relative strength of 40. That means it's underperforming 60% of the market. Relative strength is important.
We need to make a new metric where we have we've got a peg ratio. We need to work with the
we're gonna make one.
Get our momentum and our in the PE kind of little metric. I think that would be unique.
We did a lot of work. The app, we ran into one little issue there yesterday or Saturday, but we've got it all updating again, and we're putting all the formulas back in and everything. But one of the biggest, features that we're adding is the ability to screen, or I mean, I'm going to probably start with pre-built screens, and definitely low PE. And high relative strength is going to be a screen. It's going to show up anyways. I mean, those are going to be the top rated stocks by rank. But I think that would be fun to do, the stocks in each sector that meet that criteria. Okay, so here Amazon's 40 relative strength and a PE of 47. Now, that's just not good. It's dull and it's expensive. And on the other hand, you have Micron with a relative strength of 91 and a P.E. ratio of 12. That's just a better place to be sitting in a market that's as nervous as it is and in a market where mathematics are at work. Mathematics are at work. I just saw the 10-year is back to 2%. It's up 6 basis points today. So, that's working against P.E. ratios and multiples. I think it may be time for gold. I mean, those people are fleeing Ukraine. If you're sitting there in Ukraine today, if you can get out, you saw what happened in Afghanistan. If you can get out of Ukraine, you're getting out right now. And the gold becomes, well, I don't know what becomes, what, I don't know what the currency is of Ukraine right now. I'm sure they don't use the ruble. And those folks, you know, at the end of the day, what works is gold. And I'm sure there's a little bit of gold being traded right now to get the heck out. They use a currency called
the I can't pronounce it. Yeah.
Hryvnia. Right. I imagine it's plunging in value, okay, right now. And that makes gold. So I'm seeing action in gold today. Look at the chart of GFI. That's one of the best charts in the entire market, Gold Fields. Here again, what's the relative strength of Gold Fields? 91. What's the P.E. ratio of Gold Fields? 10. It's an $11 billion company. And what does it have going for it? You know, global crisis, geopolitical situations, there's those ribeye steaks again with a lock on them. You got a lock on those ribeye steaks, so don't go walking off with those things. Anyways, Gold Fields, GFI, very solid chart. Breakout, fresh breakout today. So far you got two stocks that have two things in common, relative strength and P.E. ratio. And, of course, Micron's helping out with the chip shortage and Gold Fields is helping out with geopolitical situations. People go to gold. I mean, your currency is in trouble if you're in a country that's being taken over or where there's turmoil. Okay, the next one here that we'll go to the short side of the street, okay. I keep saying that biotech stocks, there were all those biotech stocks that went public with no business of going public. But, hey, the money's there. The investors are there. They're giving the biotechs. They're throwing money at them. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. We have an inverse position on the biotech sector, which is long duration. There is no other sector, I don't think, that would be maybe the space exploration stocks. Okay. But the biotechs, we like BIS, and it has a relative strength of 97 right now. BIS is inverse two times. It's inverse two times the biotech sector. And it's a wonderful hedge to use in a high growth, an emerging growth, a tech-heavy portfolio. Biotech is considered tech, part of the tech sector, biotech. So it certainly works as a hedge in that sector. Now, there's another one that's BIS is doesn't trade that much volume. LABD does, but it's three times inverse the biotech sector. It's already traded 1.7 million shares today, LABD. So those are our three examples of the sunny side of the street today. Gold, cheap tech, and inverse biotech. Well, you know what? I put a lot of work into that newsletter this weekend. The charts are very important to look at. Our latest target price for the S&P 500, very important to look at. There's a lot of very not healthy charts at all in the market. You want to know where those charts are. You can fight the tape, as they say. Or you can finally say, you know, the tape is working against me big time. I'm doing something wrong here in this market. You can continue to fight the tape. It's up to you. I'm just telling you what I see from my end, and I'm telling you about the impact that rising interest rates and an aggressive hawkish Fed and political turmoil around the world are having on the market right now, and how you can possibly make money off of this situation. To boot, get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call. I know Barry's got a lot of calls to talk to. You better get an appointment with him if you want to talk. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.